Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Cloud computing is convenient, but is it entirely safe? Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is August 21st, 2013, and I'm glad you're here joining us for a two-day business article that you can find on pages 32 and 33 in your Advanced magazine. And we are talking about using the cloud safely. That's the title of the article, and I'm sure all of you have heard the term cloud computing recently. It's one of those catchphrases that we see often as far as how companies and individuals can handle a storage of data. And there's a lot more to it than just storing files. And we'll get into some of that as we go through this article. But like all technology, whether it's our computers, our laptops, our phones, whatever it might be, there's always the issue of security and people getting access to our files, access to our information. And don't be naive. Hackers and the bad guys, the cyber criminals, can get into your files in the cloud. So it's convenient, but there are certain measures that you need to take and also certain judgment calls that you need to make when you are storing things and using cloud computing. To help me discuss this article, I've got three panelists in the studio with me. And first, off to my right, Lois Fisk is here. Hi, Lois.
Hi, Bill. Glad to be here today.
Glad to have you here. And are you up in the clouds?
Well, you know what? I thought I wanted to ride a cloud when I was a kid. That was the
ride
thing
a cloud.
I was, thinking about when I thought about clouds. I was thinking about riding a cloud, like, a magic carpet, Bill.
You never thought of doing data processing work in the
cloud? Well, I know about it a little bit, but no, I didn't.
All right. Well, somebody who does know about it is Campbell Chong. Hi, Campbell.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be here again.
Yeah, great to have you and here in the studio, Campbell. Now, tell me what you use the cloud for.
I use the cloud to store a lot of my information, also my pictures. You know, I transfer pictures from my cell phone to the cloud, and then I can access them on my different devices. And I use it to share larger files. If I have important documents I need to share with people, I use the cloud.
Okay. Also here joining us is Ellen Lee. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
And I know you use the cloud, yes?
I do too, yeah. I use it very similarly to what Campbell does. Mm-hmm. I put a lot of pictures on there, and for classes, if I'm teaching, sometimes I'll put some documents up there.
Okay. You mentioned teaching classes, and I know you've got a number of students. You teach a couple of university classes.
Right.
Do you allow access to the files to your students? Do you ever send out links to those files that are up in the cloud?
For the classes I'm teaching now, I don't, but I have had, when I was in school, I have had teachers provide links to, like Dropbox for us to access different files. Yeah.
Campbell?
I do share links with my friends and different people if they need access to them. Yeah.
Michael and I use Dropbox sometimes. No, not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we have a variety of responses there. I actually have been able to use, for instance, Dropbox to store. I really like it for storing videos as far as the video files because I end up with some files that are huge with video. And rather than have these things sitting on my computer or my laptop and gobbling up all of the storage space or even putting it in a folder at work here and gobbling up all the space there, I'd rather put it up in the cloud. And a lot of times it's for like a temporary situation. Right. And I will send out links for people to access those videos, and it's actually very convenient.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I like it for the convenience. You know, I like especially sharing between devices. You know, sometimes I'll do something on my iPad and I want it on my computer, and in the past I'd have to have some sort of disk or some sort of thing to be able to transfer it. I can just put it on the cloud and then I can just access everything wirelessly. It just makes it a lot easier.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's advantages and disadvantages to using cloud computing. But let's do this. We'll get into our reading right now. So turn to page 32 and we'll break it down into three sections. The first reading will be the left column on page 32. Using the cloud safely. As cloud usage expands, so do security risks. Holding everything from highly personal medical and social media material to confidential financial and corporate documents, internet-based cloud services are gathering an enormous trove of information. Already a quarter of the world's business data. That is proving a powerful lure for hackers. In light of recent breaches at web marketer Epsilon, LinkedIn, and Twitter, along with surveys showing such attacks alarmingly common among businesses, many experts say too little is being done to prevent cyber crooks from pilfering credit card numbers, trade secrets, and other sensitive data on the cloud. It's scary, said Eric Chiu, co-founder and president of security company HITRUST. If a hacker gets access to that information, he said, they've got the keys to your kingdom. They can make copies of everything you have, and they can potentially destroy your data center. Okay, our deck says as cloud usage expands, so do security risks. Now, first, let's just try and define this a little bit more, a little bit better. Cloud computing, it is a term. It's one of those terms people hear all the time, but, you know, it's kind of foggy. Well, it is a cloud. So, but, you know, let's try and define it a little bit better for our listeners who may not exactly have a clear understanding of cloud computing.
Well, cloud computing doesn't actually mean that you put anything up into the sky or into the clouds. It just basically means putting files and data and information onto the internet and then accessing all these things through the internet.
Okay. Now, yeah, it's not up in the air somewhere, but actually it is being stored on servers that are provided by cloud computing suppliers. Google is a big provider of cloud computing services, Amazon, and they're Microsoft. So they actually have set aside their servers to store all of this information. So it is actually being stored, you could say, in a physical space. It just happens to be maybe in Washington, the state of Washington, or California, or it might be in Boston or somewhere like that. So, but it is in a physical space on a server. So how do we start with our reading, Ellen?
Well, it says holding everything from highly personal medical and social media material to confidential financial and corporate documents. So a lot of people use this to put a variety of information onto the clouds.
Okay, we had talked about some of the stuff that we put up there. It's a lot of personal information as far as social. I would say social information. That's what most of us are putting up there. Ellen is putting some things up that have to do with teaching classes. But do you put any do any of us put any like financial information
in
the cloud?
No.
Huh?
No.
Important personal documents?
It's all stuff to share. It's definitely stuff to share.
Yeah. Okay.
But you don't mind sharing.
So on an individual basis, what we find is that the individual consumer is using this mostly for social interaction things.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also would be hesitant to be putting anything important up there. However, so then we need to be really careful then of what we are putting up there. We might forget exactly what is in certain files that we wish to share. So we do need to be careful about what we are putting up in the cloud in certain folders, maybe Dropbox folders or things like that. Don't get careless with some of that stuff. Corporations, however, are using the cloud to store a lot of information simply because they have so much. They have millions of customers, and they have so much information. Putting things in a cloud is actually an economic decision for them. So,
but isn't theirs too, Bill? Isn't theirs basically for the public to get access at this information of the company or financial institution that kind of everyone can see? It's not their private, like when they're working on their budget or something like that.
No. No, 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 not everything that they're putting there is for everybody to see.
Right.
So they actually will store some customer information. So that's so – and that they certainly don't want people having access to that.
Right.
And we talk about this later as far as some customer information at different firms has been hacked into. So that's where the problem comes in. But for corporations, they store all sorts of things. And you can imagine in a large corporation, it's easy to lose track of what people are storing because you have many, many departments, individuals making decisions, putting things in the cloud. So it's easy to have this information up there that might be too personal and could be hacked into. Now, Alan took us down to line four, talking about the confidential financial and corporate documents. And then after that comma, we say...
Yeah, we say here, internet-based cloud services are gathering an enormous trove of information. Already a quarter of the world's business data that is proving a powerful lure for hackers.
Okay, first, a trove.
Yeah, a trove. I'm thinking of... Like, it's there, it's big, it's deep, it's...
Like a treasure trove.
Yeah. Treasure
trove. Something where you store a lot of very valuable, precious things, you know.
A large amount of things. So, and now...
Wealth of information, some people say, correct?
Yes.
Yes, a trove of information, a wealth of information. Yes. And it is proving to be what, Campbell?
It's proving to be a powerful lure for hackers. Now, when we talk about a lure, we're talking about something that is used to attract or to trap someone. It's kind of like a bait. You know, if we look on the top left corner of page 33, we see a picture of a hook with the username and password. Just kind of that idea of trying to attract something.
Okay, like you're trying to catch a fish there.
That fishing lure, you know?
Yeah, fishing lure. So now, in light of recent what, Ellen?
In light of recent breaches meaning kind of a break in security, or actually on page 33, we define it as an act of breaking a rule, law, custom, or practice. So in light of recent breaches at WebMarketer, Epsilon, LinkedIn, and Twitter, along with surveys showing such attacks alarmingly common among businesses.
Okay, right. And so there are three examples of what I had mentioned earlier, firms that had their information, they lost information.
Yeah.
WebMarketer, Epsilon, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Now, you can imagine, for instance, just think of LinkedIn. Are you on LinkedIn, Campbell?
I am, but I don't really use it.
Okay.
I'm in the same boat, so to speak. Yeah. Yeah. I have an account, but don't
me
really
too,
use it.
Me too, and I don't use it. In fact, I don't even know if it's still there. I don't use it.
All right.
Yeah, I signed up for it at one time.
Fascinating. That's interesting to learn. Wow. I'm on there too, but I haven't used it much. But I'll tell you what. This is a good example. When we sign up for something like LinkedIn, and imagine how many things that you have signed up for in your digital life, you know, once the internet became popular, think of how many sites you signed up for. You entered information. There might be stuff on there that you forgot that you entered.
Right.
And maybe you're not putting credit card information on there, but there might be other personal information you don't want people to know.
Phone number, address.
Right.
Like that,
yeah. Cell phone number, things like that. And so that you can think of how many billions of files there are like that floating around out there that people have submitted information. They forgot all about it, but it's just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people can hack into this stuff and they could probably find some way to use that information.
Yeah, I actually, Bill, had my Facebook just this year for the very first time hacked into, and I was shocked. I could not believe it was because I've had it for a number of years now. Got hacked into, kind of freaked me out. I do have a fake phone number on my Facebook, so I'm glad about that, but still.
Well, I think we've all seen examples of that, people having their Facebook accounts hacked into, whether it's ours or a friend. Mm-hmm. And then we start getting goofy postings or messages from them that you know they didn't send,
right.
You know, or
yeah.
There are all sorts of things. That's a great example.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Hackers can then get access to our entire address book. And again, that starts all sorts of problems. So that's what we're talking about. These attacks are alarmingly common among businesses also. And what do many experts say?
Well, many experts are saying that too little is being done to prevent cyber crooks from pilfering credit card numbers, trade secrets, and other sensitive data on the cloud. So pilfering here, we're talking about to steal things from others. And here we're talking about credit card numbers. Trade secrets are things that businesses, you know, they've developed. Maybe they're not ready to release to the public, and things that could impact their business.
Mm-hmm.
And sensitive data, just information that we really don't want others to know about.
Sure. And, yeah, you think about what information is transferred among businesses on trade secrets. Product development. I'm just thinking, for instance, of the iPhone. As mm-hmm. the iPhone has gone through different stages of development, it's almost like a James Bond movie, the way different companies are trying to get the prototypes
right.
of these phones.
Yeah.
You know, they're stealing them from people.
Right. I mean, these trade secrets, this is your competitive edge. If that trade secret gets leaked out, if other people find out about it, you lose your competitive edge,
mm-hmm.
you know? And this is amazing to me because it just shows how much time has changed. I remember Ellen recently sending me an email about just things that make you feel old, right? And in there was a picture of like cartoons where, you know, it used to be like you could destroy the world with a floppy disk, you know,
right.
But no one uses floppy disks anymore.
I know. Yeah.
Well, right. Ellen's going to be sending myself and Bill cartoons that are ancient.
Things that make you feel prehistoric.
That's right, Bill.
Well, actually,
get ready for it.
It was very funny because I sent it to Campbell and a couple of other coworkers, and one of them said, well, actually, some of these things are too young for me to relate to. And
oh,
I was like, whoa.
Goodness.
To even know what they are.
Yeah.
They're like,
to even know what they
disk?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, well, I do remember that, you know, in the past, when you just watch the cartoons and, you know, they'd work so hard to, like, steal that floppy disk,
yeah.
you know.
Right.
But now they could just do it from their home and get on the computer, on the internet, and they just steal all this information.
Just watch a few old James Bond movies and it'll remind everybody.
yeah. Well, is it scary?
Well, it's scary, says Eric Chu, co-founder and president of security company HITRUST.
Okay. HITRUST is based in Sunnyvale, California, where, of course, so many tech firms are. And he is, you know, he's talking about hackers and if they get access to the information that is stored in the cloud. And he continues by saying what?
Well, he says they've got the keys to your kingdom if they are able to get into your information, and they can make copies of everything you have, and they can potentially destroy your data center.
Keys to your kingdom.
Well, by keys to your kingdom, they just mean access to your information, access to your company, and things that could destroy your business.
Okay. And also, not only gather all your information, but also can destroy your data center if somebody is also not only interested in taking information, but if they were malicious, downloaded viruses or other malware that might infect your computer system. Need to be careful. All right, we'll have our second reading right now. How does it work? Although definitions of cloud computing vary, it usually involves a shared service that lets customers access their data using internet-based software or servers. Cloud storage can cut a company's costs and make it easy to retrieve information from nearly anywhere via the internet. The cloud is used to send email, print from mobile devices, exchange medical information, share on social networks, and much more. Just among cloud document storage services, such as Dropbox and Google Drive, the number of subscribers will double from 625 million this year to 1.3 billion in 2017, according to market researcher IHS. How does it work? Well, we get into some of that, the definitions on cloud computing here. And there are a variety of definitions, but it usually involves...
Well, it usually involves, as we said earlier, a shared service that lets customers access their data using internet-based software or servers. So as we said earlier, it's not the information isn't just out there in the sky. It's actually being stored on these giant computers and servers somewhere.
Now, why might a company use it?
They want to share their information easily. It's easily accessible. And it's a new way. It's a new technology, Bill.
Well, they can also cut their company's cost. That's actually, now, as an individual, we're not thinking of cutting our costs. There is no cost, right? But for companies that are using a lot of cloud computing, which involves more, certainly more than storage, they actually have access to a lot of different applications. They can cut their costs by not having to pay licensing fees on software and upgrades, and so they actually can lower their IT costs and even storing information costs. There is a cost with storing information.
Sure. I mean, if in order to store information, you need to have servers. So
right.
If you're going to have a server in your company, servers are expensive. So if you can just access another server that already is in existence and just pay a small fee, you can actually save a lot of money.
Yeah. Now, on an individual basis, we might think of our laptop. And there's a limit on our storage. And, okay, maybe after 5 years we reach the limit, we have to buy a new computer. And,
right.
Okay, maybe $1,000.
Or a high hard drive.
Or a new hard drive, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you are a company that is growing and you have to go out and buy new servers, you're talking several hundreds of thousands of dollars, even into the millions. That's the type of numbers that they're talking about. So it's a whole different ballgame compared to the individual costs. Now, the cloud is used to... do what?
Well, nowadays, the cloud is used to send things like email or to even print things from your phones, your mobile devices, or exchange medical information. So doctors might send you a link to your medical records or something, and to share things on social networks.
Okay. And those are some of the individual and corporate uses. And we have a couple of companies there that are listed as far as being among the cloud document storage services. Who are they?
Yeah, we have Dropbox here, Bill, and Google Drive. And it tells us the number of subscribers will double from 625 million this year to 1.3 billion in 2017. This is quite significant.
Yes, it is. Now, that number is for industry-wide, not just for those two companies, but they are definitely the leaders. That information comes from market researcher IHS, which actually does studies on several different industries, provides consulting services, and especially in the technology industry. Now, we got a short little reading just to finish today. A risky choice? Corporations have been among the biggest adopters. Research firm Gartner has predicted that the worldwide revenue from public clouds will soar from $91.4 billion in 2011 to $206.6 billion in 2016. Yet the trend poses risks. Symantec in January reported that 43% of the 3,236 businesses it queried had lost data in the cloud, although it didn't ask how much was due to cyber attacks. Corporations have been among the biggest adopters.
Which just means that they're the ones that have taken on and began to use this service more than anyone else.
All right. In our previous reading right near the end, we learned about the number of users and what it is and how it's going to grow over the next 3 or 4 years. What about some of the revenue?
Well, the revenue will similarly increase quite a bit from $91.4 billion in 2011 to what they predict will be $206.6 billion in 2016.
Okay. All right. So that's we see more than a doubling there, which matches up with that user number that was doubling, more than doubling also in the previous paragraph. Yet the trend poses risks.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of these risks, that 43% of the 3,236 businesses had lost data in the cloud. So okay. I don't know. We have the word in this. We have business. It queried. And that's our vocabulary focus for that word says to ask questions, often expressing doubt about something or looking for information.
Okay. That comes from Symantec, another firm that specializes in IT security. And they had done a survey, and a lot of these businesses lost data in the cloud. It's not really clear, though, if it was all from hackers, right?
Right. It's not, I mean, you have almost half of these companies losing information, but you're not really sure if it's because, you know, someone deleted it accidentally from their company or if someone actually accessed their accounts illegally and stole stuff.
Yeah, loss can happen in many ways. Of course, hackers can come in and lose that information, but things do get deleted. Employees at the firms can accidentally delete things. And actually what happens is I was reading about some of these cloud computing companies that provide them. Just like everybody else, they have equipment failures. They have power outages.
Yep.
And so things happen just like they do at home. In fact, last night my power flickered off for like 1 second. And my computer shut down and then restarted. And it was like this, you know, crash thing.
Oh, were you saving along the way, Bill?
Thank goodness. I had just saved it. I was working on writing a test, and I had saved this thing about 2 minutes earlier.
Oh, goodness.
And,
that's great.
You know, it just was extra work. I would have had to gone back and do it. But I was like, so stuff like that happens with these providers. So,
sure.
Listeners, it's very helpful for us to learn about this new, you know, level of internet usage that we're all getting into. I think all of us in the next 5 years will be using the cloud even more as we have bigger files, we start accessing more tools on the internet. So be smart about your cloud usage. Thanks for being here for day one. Come on back tomorrow. We'll see you.